One of the things I want us all to learn, it's a simple idea, is when we look at, if we look in the New Testament, and then we go back to the Old Testament, they had a series, look up here, folks, they had a series of ordinances also. And they're very similar. When you start looking at, we have two ordinances, the initial, which is obviously baptism, and then we have a continual ordinance, which is the Lord's Supper, which we'll spend a couple weeks on it. I don't need an extra S there, I guess. Lord's Supper. There is not a great deal of difference between what you find in the Old Testament. We have Passover. The Passover was a historical event. The Lord instituted a Passover meal. The Passover meal didn't save anybody, but it was one of those ways that the Jewish believers went back and remembered what God had done in the past. So you're going to find some continuity, not in the fact that we keep Passover, but in the idea of there was an event. Everybody ready for this? There were events, and then there were ordinances to do what? Save you? To remember those events. When they crossed the Jordan River, they took 12 stones and took them out. Not to save anybody. By the way, it's important that you get event and then some ordinance to remember the event. Otherwise, you get into all this spooky stuff and Christians are famous for it. I read a lot of, to work back through this, I read a book this thick on the case for covenantal infant baptism by my Presbyterian friends. And they use language that you would go. And some of it is simple. They want to baptize babies. And Christian, don't point to verses. Understand ideas. Every ordinance we have has something to do with, say it, an event. Yes. And then there's some way that God has given us in the Old Testament and the New Testament of remembering that event. That the ordinance, from what I can tell, never saved anybody. But it was a way of pointing back to an event. So that's kind of where we're at this morning. In your note, or in your Bibles, let's all stand. We'll read a few verses of the Bible together. We'll start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So this is one of the summary passages in the New Testament that tells us this is what the gospel is. He goes ahead and says in verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And all he's saying is, it is certainly possible for a person not to really be saved, even though they've been around church. Our Christians are preaching. That's not a shocker. That is from Matthew to Revelation. There are people that are around churches that aren't truly saved. There are people, the four soils or the seed. Some people grow and you think, oh my goodness, and then 3 minutes later they're some other place. Folks, that's saying the same thing. Verse 3, he starts to delineate, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, the Messiah, died for our sins, according to the scriptures. So that's the event, friend. He died. The meaning, of course, is wrapped up in that concept of for our sins. And then, of course, the basis of all of this is rooted in the scripture. Every time an animal was sacrificed, the Jewish believer was to understand that God was going to do something in the future that would ultimately take away sins. This was a way of looking forward. And It was a different kind of memory. It was a memory of what will be. Now we look back the other direction of what has happened. Same concepts. We continue. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So you have in this passage the fundamentals of the faith we've talked about. You of course, starting in verse 5, you have the fact that people actually, you know, saw this, knew this, saw the resurrected Christ. And you go down to verse 11, and Paul, this is probably for some people the most important verse. if you've ever dealt with people that believe there are more than one gospel, and there are churches in this area where the pastor believes there's more than one gospel. There's Peter's gospel, there's Paul's gospel, that all sounds great, but Paul begs to differ. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I, Paul, or they, the other apostles, so we preach, both of us, and so ye believed. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessing on this day. May this be a profitable morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to dive in, no playing around this morning, no funny stories. I'll tell a funny story about Jim Duncan this morning. He didn't even know he's in this funny story. And it is a weird one. Wow. Christianity is radically different than any other religion in the world. It is not primarily a philosophy, nor an ethical system, or even a religion. Folks, if you want to know what's the difference between Christianity and other religions, here it is. It's not a philosophy. It's not just telling you how to live ethically. Christianity is always about facts, or events, if you prefer. Christ died, and then their meanings for our sins. The Bible, from beginning to end, is rooted in what? Folks, see, I'm not afraid of you reading something else. I would recommend when you start growing up and you get past age 3 that you actually read the, and I can't say it, somebody here, Debbie probably has memorized it, the Bhagavad Gita, one of the Hindu texts. Or you ought to read stuff. You're going to find out something. You think, man, they must have something we don't have. Try reading that stuff. And you read it, and one of the things you're going to recognize, this isn't talking about reality and real people. It's always religion. You start in Genesis, and it takes you about 1 second to start talking about people, events, God intervening in history from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. That's Christianity. So when you think of Christianity, you think of these big issues. The Bible, from beginning to end, is rooted in history, God acting in history. You have creation, you have the fall. If you believe the Bible, you have a flood. If you don't believe the Bible, you know the creek rose one time and they thought it was a flood. You have the call of Abraham. You have Passover. All of these are big events, huge events, that everything in Christianity is based on what God did at certain times. Deuteronomy 15:15 even says this, and thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. That's history, folks. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. That's what God did. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. Our ethics flows out of real life history and what God did in history. Therefore, we live a certain way. Deuteronomy 16:12, and thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. It's actually found in chapter 5 also in the second giving of the Ten Commandments. There's a great future event that I actually believe in. Now, we haven't really talked about it in Sunday school. We will in future weeks. When I was a young boy, Walter, where'd Walter go? When Walter was a young boy in the evangelical world, the vast majority of evangelicals were what we are, dispensational, premillennial, pre-tribulational. You say, what does all that mean? We believe there's a future for the nation Israel. And God is going to, in due time, the church is going to be raptured. There's going to be 7 years of. And then at the end of that tribulation, Christ will return to establish his kingdom, which is a kingdom centered in Jerusalem. I still believe that. That's not very popular today. Very unpopular. All kinds of overtones for two reasons. Number one, a lot of people don't like Israel, even people that say they're Jewish. I mean, even people that say they're Christians. By the way, if you don't like people, that's wonderful. Be very careful about one group. They're the only people that God said, I will curse those that curse them. He didn't say that about Philip. If you don't like Filipinos, I get it. Especially from the Bicol region of the Philippines. I get it. But my friend, and that doesn't mean the Jewish person you work to is nice, but understand something. God made a covenant with the Jews, not with white folks. And we come into salvation through that covenant. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. I know you've heard of it. It's the backbone of everything we believe, of course. So anyhow, this is just some of the stuff. You're going to find that people don't believe these next verses because instead of Jesus in the future, you know, you have, let me give you a simple way of looking at it. Creation, the fall. Of course, obviously there's a flood in here that's significant, but not so much for salvation. It's significant for the way the earth is and those sorts of things. It has other implications also. Then you move forward to Abraham's call. You know, that's kind of significant because the rest of the Bible is rooted in that. And that, in Abraham's call, in the Abrahamic covenant given seven times in the book of Genesis, what you find is, you find the basis of Israel. You also find that in his seed, all nations, every one of us weirdos, will be blessed through Abraham's seed. And I think his seed was Jewish, named Jesus, I think. And one day, this is going to be destroyed. There's some period of time here. Christ comes, the cross. We have the church age. I'm just drawing this. But one day, this church age is just going to be a rapture. There's going to be 7 years. And Christ is going to establish his kingdom on earth. And that will be not just a Jewish kingdom, but it will be centered in Jerusalem, and it will fulfill the promises God made to this guy named Abraham all through the Old Testament. I don't want to talk about that right now, so just read the verse. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. So the Christ event, incarnation of Christ, Jesus coming, born of a virgin, crucifixion, resurrection, the ascension, down the road there's going to be a rapture and the second coming, these are all history. As I say in your notes, without historical events, we have no Christianity. So I'm going to ask you a question. This is not to do with what we're going to talk about. What if somebody found Jesus' body in a cave someplace? Would that impact your Christianity? Ron, would it impact your Christianity? Well, it would eliminate your Christianity. Because if Jesus didn't rise, there is no Christianity, friend. Christianity is about Christ rising. Yes, ma'am. I understand that. I'm just asking a question. I'm asking Paul's question in 1 Corinthians 15. If the dead do not rise, what kind of condition does that leave us in? Not a good one. All right, in your notes, Christianity. Now, by the way, folks, I don't want to redraw, and this is a terrible chart. I did it too quickly. In the church age, starting with the day of Pentecost, we have two ordinances. One is the one we're going to talk about this morning, the initial rite, which is baptism. We have another ordinance called the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about next couple weeks. In order to be an ordinance, most people believe in these are the three ways we determine what an ordinance is. It's something that Jesus had to command, obviously, something that the early church had to observe, and it's something that the epistles have to talk about. Otherwise, you can go and make up all kinds of things that are not ordinances. So we will talk, first of all, about the initial ordinance or rite, which is baptism. What can we say about baptism? Number one, baptism in the New Testament is a symbol or it is symbolic. Baptism is a symbol or it is symbolic. So let's ask the question. If Christianity is about events, is it about events, yes or no? Because that says, and he was his son, but until it's out. He said, is the dilemma is God, not my, and God.